Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Happy St. Valentine's Day. Thank you. I suppose, though, if you looked at your calendar, there was no mention of him being a saint, right? We know it now as Valentine's Day. While they still allow Patrick to have his sainthood, they've dropped the saint of St. Valentine. And I think that's a shame, because Valentine was a devout Christian, as Patrick was. I think it's time that the church reclaims the holy days that she confesses. St. Valentine was a man who lived and died for Jesus. He was a physician, but he was also a priest. A man who cared for both the body and the soul. But more important than that, he was a man who faced death and imprisonment for being a Christian. Because you see, St. Valentine lived in the 3rd century. And he faced the persecution as the church faced the persecution. That meant imprisonment and martyrdom. And so on February 14th, in the year of our Lord 270, St. Valentine lost his head for confessing Jesus Christ. How do we celebrate St. Valentine's today? Is it with the same devotion that Valentine had? Is it the same love of Christ? Do we devote ourselves to these things? Now, it is good that you send Valentines out. And this actually does find its tradition in the man himself. For the tradition holds that on the day of his martyrdom, his being put to death for the faith, he wrote a note of encouragement to follow Jesus to his jailer's daughter. And that is why we have Valentines. So I encourage you to keep that practice up, to keep up the practice of encouraging one another in the faith, in a faith that you should be willing to die for. I've recently seen, if you aren't already familiar, I encourage you to follow Babylon Bee. It's a Christian satire site, and they have some really funny stuff. Now, you got to remember, what I think is really funny might not be as funny as it needs to be for you, but in it, they had that there are now Song of Solomon candy hearts, ones that are biblically minded from the Song of Solomon. Now, if you've never read the Song of Solomon, you might wonder what this is all about. But if you do, you'll see why this is just so comical. I'm going to give you some pointers of what you should say to your wife later. Hey, tower neck. Your teeth are like sheep. You have goat hair. Your legs are as marble pillars. Yeah, it didn't work for me either. But the fact remains that he focuses his love for his bride as Christ focuses his love for his bride, the church. St. Valentine faced certain death for attending to the things of God. And yet he did it, because he knew that death led him to Jesus. Every single Christian needs to cast fear aside. Even if there was a small percentile of having possible death by coming to church, we should still do it. Even if you were 100% sure that you would die by going to church, you should still do it. Death for the Christian leads us to Jesus. How can we be afraid? Perfect love casts out fear. The world tells you that love looks like this, like fornication and debauchery, like a breaking of the 6th commandment, that if you really loved a guy, you would do what he wanted you to do, even though your convictions of your Christian faith dictate otherwise. A man who truly loves you will not force you into doing that act that God reserves for a husband and a wife.
He respects you too much for that. Love is not living together outside of the bonds of marriage. Love is not breaking the sixth commandment. What does love actually look like? Well, thankfully, it just perfectly lines up this year that the chapter of love that St. Paul writes is our epistle lesson for St. Valentine's Day for Quinquagesima. So 1 Corinthians 13, which is what our society thinks is the only verse read at weddings, right? If you ever you watched a single TV show or a single movie where there is a Christian wedding, these words are always read, even though we don't use them at weddings. We use Ephesians. But here are the words. Here's what love looks like. Love suffers long. That is, it is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. Love does not look like husband and wife seeking out reasons to get back at the other person. It is not seeking ways to hold on to an issue even though you've already said you forgive the other person for it. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You should love your husband or your wife as Christ loves. We are to remember the eighth commandment. We are to put the best construction on everything. We don't simply jump at a reason to be mad or upset at the other person. Rather, we put the best construction on it. We wait for the full story before we jump down. What does love look like for a husband? Love looks like waking up every Sunday morning, even if you are exhausted beyond exhaustion, and getting your wife and your children and bringing them here to church. That is what the love of a husband looks like. The love of a husband is coming home after a long, exhausting day and grabbing a Bible and reading it to your children or your wife. It is leading them in prayer. It is opening the catechism and helping them to learn those words by heart. It is singing great songs to our Lord. It is willingness to lay down his life for his wife as Christ laid down his life for his bride, the church. And for a wife, it looks like sometimes having to give up other finances to spend more time with the children who need you more than anyone else in this world needs you. It means sacrificing certain things for the betterment of our society, for the betterment of the future, but most importantly, the lives that God has created inside of you, the lives that God has given you to nurture and to nourish. Those lives come first. That's what love looks like. Love looks like a wife being able to submit to her husband in all things, knowing that he will provide for her as Christ has commanded him to. Love looks like husband and wife praying together, joining hands together, and trusting God in what life may bring. Trusting God that he is the one who opens the womb, that he is the one that gives the beautiful blessing of children according to his will. If true children truly are a blessing, then we are to look at them as such, to receive them with joy as he gives them. Love is devotion to Jesus Christ. What does real love look like? Looks like that. It looks like your perfect God, who did not need to die, taking on our flesh to bear every single sinful thing that we have done, every single sinful thing that we have yet to do, and everything that has happened in the past or is going to happen in the future. That is what perfect love looks like. Nails through hands and feet, a spear in the side, a crown of thorns. Jesus told his disciples that he would be doing this for them. In our gospel lesson, this is actually the third time that Jesus tells them that he will be doing this. He says, "For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him." That is what love looks like. And that perfect love casts out fear. It casts out fear in you. It casts out fear from the people at home. It casts out fear that we might love as he loved us. Not being crucified in the flesh as he is, but taking up our own crosses to follow him. Showing his love through husband and wife, through parents to children, through neighbors to neighbors. Families gathered together. That is what love looks like. That is how we show love. So even as Saint Valentine willingly was put to death for being a Christian, we must let our perfect love of Christ cast out any fear and fulfill our faith to come and receive it. Even if our emperor hated Christ himself and hated you for following Christ and threatened you with absolute death for coming to church or for witnessing to Jesus, do it anyway. Because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Think on the words from our sermon hymn. "And death pursues me all the way, nowhere I rest securely. He comes by night, he comes by day, he takes his prey most surely. A failing breath and I in death's strong grasp may lie, to face eternity today as death pursues me all the way." Those words are true. Bear them in your heart. Take them to be the truth. Death will come from you when Jesus has prepared it. You cannot hide from it. There is nothing you can do to escape death. But in Christ, eternal death is cast away from you. And so the church sings, "My walk is heavenward all the way. Await my soul the morrow, when God's good healing shall allay all suffering, sin, and sorrow. Then worldly pomp be gone, to heaven I now press on. For all the world I would not stay. My walk is heavenward all the way." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.